Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message. Well, again, welcome to First Nazarene. We are excited that you are here with us today on this Memorial Day weekend. My name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here, and excited to share with you today in this series we've been in called Make Your Move. It's so good to see so many of you here and so many of you back, whether it's the first time in a year or you're brand new here. It's always fun to see people gathered in this place. One thing in this series, Make Your Move, we've noticed. Today, maybe more than ever, we live in a culture that is on the move. We live very fast-paced lives. We move jobs. We move homes. Maybe more than any other time in history. We move like crazy. One thing I want you to do with the person next to you, whether you're here or online, if there's someone next to you, I want to ask you a question. I want to see who can be closer between the two of you. How many times do you think the average person moves in a lifetime? Would you share that number with the person next to you? Maybe like just throw up a couple fingers. How many times do you think the average person moves in a lifetime? We'll see who's closer here. 11.7. Does that surprise you? Is that some of you is like, yes, that's me, actually. Yeah. Maybe another one. How many times does the average person move to a new job? What would you say? What do you think? What number? How many times do they move to a new job? 11. The average person has 12 jobs. It only averages 4 years at each place. That's crazy. Also, you're like, Galen, you said show them fingers. You have two answers that are 11. I don't have 11 fingers. That doesn't work. Another one. How many times a day does the average person move their feet? How many steps in a day? Some of you are wildly obsessed with closing the circles on your watch or hitting your Fitbit goal or whatever it is. What's your guess? It's definitely more than your fingers. 5,117. Final one. This is interesting. How many times a day do we move to look at our phone? How many times a day do you think we unlock it? And this is from Apple, so maybe you Android people are different, but this is Apple's number. 80. And we touch it 2,600 times a day. We live in a society that is so fast-paced, we're always moving homes, new jobs, new stages and phases of life. We're constantly having to move to pull out our phone to catch up on all the other movement in the world so we don't fall behind. And in this series of Make Your Move, we've been encouraging, what does it look like for you to move forward in your faith? The first week, Pastor Brian shared with us of how to actually get on the move, to not have a stagnant faith that's simply not going anywhere. We learned how to move into enemy territory with David and Goliath. Or finally, last week, how Jesus was moved by compassion, and so too then we should be as well. If you didn't listen to those, they're all online. We encourage you to go look at them. And we are a people that is on the move. Yet, in this crazy fast-paced society, I think some of us experience this. I'm always on the move. I love the fast pace. I love the change. I love the busy culture. I love it. Yet, I'm feeling alone, isolated, empty inside, maybe more alone than I've ever been in my life. Today, I want to share with us, as we are a people that are on the move, there are certain times in life where we need to be moved to stay faithful, to stay consistent. We need to be moved to stay. I want to tell you today that I think God is here to stay for you. And I want to call you into moving to stay with him and with others in your life. Be moved to stay. I want to show you something, just a little Bible study, if you will, about the way that God works. Well, how does movement and staying pertain to God all throughout the scripture? I think we can learn something from it. You see, in Genesis 1, in the very beginning, God creates the heavens and earth. Everything that is in existence, God creates. He creates man and woman, humanity, and puts them in a garden. And then God moves into the garden. The scripture says he walked with them, he talked with them, he wanted to be with them, he wanted to stay with them. Yeah, humanity chose something other than God. They sinned, and it caused separation between us in God. So then in Exodus, we read about how God instructs the people, build a tabernacle, and I'm going to come and move in the tabernacle. My presence will be there with you. I want to move in and stay with you. Leviticus says it this way, I'll place my dwelling in your midst. I shall not reject you. I will walk among you. I'll be your God, and you will be my people. Yet we as a people turned our back on God, and again, there was separation. So in Kings, God comes and he says, hey, build a temple in this holy city, Jerusalem. I'm going to come. My presence will come and dwell in the temple. Again, I want to move in near you. I want to stay with you. But we turned our back on God and there was separation and God's people were carried off into exile. And then in the greatest move of all of Scripture, God is not content to simply just sit up in heaven and watch this human experiment go wrong. He decides to move. And he comes in the person of Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, to come and move in to share our experience, to stay in our homes, to eat our food, to understand the human experience. John 1 says this way, the Word became flesh, became man, and lived among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Message translation of this says, God became man and he moved into the neighborhood. God came here to stay. And through Jesus, through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, according to the Scriptures, God has erased the gap of separation between us. We can know our Creator. We can know God. We can experience life the way that it's supposed to be lived for what Jesus has done from us. And Jesus, in his resurrection, then he ascends and goes to heaven, but he says, I'm leaving you with a gift. I want to give you the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit comes and moves, and it's never far away, that if we would accept Jesus, he comes and he moves into our hearts and into our life. He begins to change us from the inside out, making us who God wants us to be. We can actually change. We don't have to say, well, it's just who I am. I'm always this way. It's a terrible weakness, a flaw of mine. No, God's Spirit can change us, actually transform us into who he wants us to be. And then we act as outposts of the coming kingdom of God. For once, when God will come at the end of all time and his kingdom will be here with his people. The very end in Revelation 21, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He'll dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be their God. I want you to see this from beginning to end. How does God move? What's his intentions? He moves in close, and he longs to stay with us. And you're like, okay, Galen, that's like fun theology. That's a good talk. But like, if I'm not close to Jesus, what does that mean for me today? And I would see this. I want you to see God's disposition towards you. He's not okay with just sitting off in heaven like, well, let's just see how their life goes. He's not turning his back on you like, well, I've played enough fixer-upper with other people's lives. I'm not going to do this with you. He's not angry at you. The picture we see is that he's always pursuing us. Think of it this way. If you're walking and you're living your life, he's right behind you. And sometimes we go in places that God would want us to go. Sometimes we go in places we wouldn't want him to go. But he's always near to us because he always desires relationship with us. I think in key moments in our life, he taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, do you want to know me? Do you see my beauty in creation? Do you experience the depth of love that I have created for you? Can't you know this was put in you by your Creator? Would you want to know me in relationship with me? And what we need to do, no matter where we are in life, is to turn and to embrace him because he's always pursuing. I love this picture that Acts 3 gives. So now repent of your sins and turn around to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And then when you turn, times of refreshing may come from the presence because God is right there of the Lord. And that he may send the Christ, or other words translated in the meaning there, Christ, Messiah, or the Savior. You need saving in life. The Savior is the one who is the presence that is right behind you, who's appointed for you, namely Jesus. No matter where you are in life, no matter what you have done, no matter what you think has separated you from God, he is close by. He's not cast you away. He's not forgotten about you. He cares for you. Could you turn and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Now would you refresh my soul? Would you show me a new way to live loving you and loving others? Would you turn to him. And again, this is great, but I think I want to give you a real life example of what this looks like. God is never far away and can care for us and refresh us no matter where we are. There's a guy in our church, I've got to know him a little bit. He's been in my life group. I chat with him after service sometimes. It's been good to hear his story. We talk about the world. We talk about faith. We talk about God together. We ask questions. And getting to know him, he shared some of his story with me. He said, you know, my parents and my grandparents, they grew up in another country. And because of that, they experienced these political ideologies that were terrible and devastating for that country. And they left and they came here. And so they, when I was growing up, they taught me, be on the lookout for these political ideologies because you've seen, we know what they can do to a country. And he said, you know, 2020 has been a hard year, as for everyone, was for my family as well. And in the midst of an already difficult time, summer gave way to fall, and so the ramping up of the political election season. And he said, because of that, because of what I was reading, and because I know what I know in my head about what I've been taught, I began to experience this overwhelming, crippling fear and anxiety. What is going to happen? But in the midst of this place, he said, I began to notice something. I actually noticed something when I looked out my window. He shared with me this deep fear and anxiety began to be stilled. He said, you know what? Every morning when I wake up, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what the headline today says, no matter who is threatening to do whatever, I was graciously reminded that something remains constant. When I looked out my window, I saw the steeple of this church. To me, it's God's way of telling me, I'm still here. I'm still with you. I'm not going anywhere. It's the ultimate reminder to me that at my desperate moment, only Jesus is the hope of the world. And the church endures all things. And through the church, Jesus will continue to remain until he returns again. And when he sent me this picture, he actually sent me a few more. He said, you know, it's interesting when the weather's really nice and, you know, the sun's out and life is great, you can actually barely notice the steeple. When the clouds begin to roll in a little bit, it becomes a little bit more visible. And obviously, of course, when darkness rolls in, that is when it shines at its brightest. And of course, the preacher man side of me is like, well, of course. The darker the world gets, the more the light will be seen. Jesus says, he is the light, and he says, you will be the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. The way we love, the way we hope should be different than the world. But here's what I want you to know. The church isn't going anywhere. This church has been here or been in existence as a community of people for 116 years, and the church, thousands of years. When Jesus told Peter, hey, you're going to start the church, he said, even the gates of hell cannot stop the church. The church will exist for all time. There is a place, there is a people of hope. When you need refreshing, when you need new life, when you need someone to talk to, the church is here. You simply need to turn, maybe look out your window, and recognize God is here to stay for you. But secondly, today I'd say God is here to stay for you, but then what's our response? I think we need to choose to stay with God. I want to ask you a question. What do you feel like, or how do you feel like, how is your spiritual stamina? How can you endure things in the spiritual life? Here's what I know. When life is going well, you're like, man, I began this relationship with Jesus. Things are going great. Like my wife and I, like we don't even fight anymore. This is awesome. I actually, you know, got a promotion at work. I got a raise and a bonus. And my kids are actually listening to me for the first time. God is amazing. He's changing my life. It's like, woo, you're on fire. But then what happens when you're like, man, I'm still being faithful to God. I'm practicing the spiritual disciplines. I'm showing up at church to hear truth. I want Jesus to transform me. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. But man, my world's falling apart. Actually, my wife and I were fighting more than we ever have. And my kid, I don't even know what to do with them. And maybe I lost my job. Or maybe I or someone I know received a diagnosis. And it's, God, where are you in the midst of this? How's our stamina? How's our spiritual attitude in these moments? One of the pastors I follow and read his book said this, and I love this. Will we trust that God is good even when our life isn't? Our response to pain and challenges determines so much about our future. If we decide to trust, we'll grow in our faith. We'll deepen in our intimacy with God and be conformed into the image of Jesus. But if we allow our hearts to drift, we'll wake up one day drowning in doubts, buried in burdens, and feeling far from the only one that can help us heal. So many of us think that, well, if God loved me and God was with me, then I wouldn't be experiencing this hard thing. That's simply not true. So Jesus can be standing beside you at the stern of the ship. That doesn't mean storms won't come, because they will, and they will rock your boat. What that means, though, is that you have one who is with you that can speak into either the storm or your soul, peace be still. The one that can speak peace into your life. What it means is that when storms come and your boat gets rocked, that you won't sink. You have someone to hold on to, someone that can carry you through. So I think really what we need to do is decide when hard times come, not if they come. When hard times come, what will our response be? I don't simply want to react in the moment. I want to choose before the moment how I will respond. And what I want to say is stay the course in your faith. Don't give up. Even when life is its darkest, could you say, I still believe that God is good, even when life isn't. I still have confidence that God is powerful and able to change my situation. I still trust. He said he will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He is with me even now, even when I can't see it. Choose to stay engaged in your faith. When you do, when you come out on the other side of this, and it may be a long season, it may be a short season, when you come out of it, you say, God was there with me and for me all along, and now I can experience him in a different way. I want you to see this. This is from Jeremiah. Blessed is those who trust in the Lord, that made their Lord their hope and their confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. I first chose this verse a couple months ago because I think it's perfect for what we're talking about, but it's dealing with like gardening and the development of nature. Trees planted, roots that reach deep. And my parents are in town this weekend. It's Memorial Day. They made the trip up, and my mom is an excellent gardener. That was not passed down to me. I'm not very good at it. Twice now I've tried to plant sunflowers. I'm from Kansas, love sunflowers. We always have them in my yard. So I love sunflowers. I try to plant it. I like, you know, pray over it. Sunflowers, God, please, this time, let it grow. My mom came home from like Home Depot or wherever with a whole bunch of flowers, and they're planting them in our yard, and the whole time I'm praying, God, please help us not to kill them. They're so pretty. Let them stay a little bit. I don't have that growing stuff within me. I don't talk about hellfire or brimstorm or like the fires of Hades much. When I do, it's directed at the squirrels of Bolingbrook who eat all my flowers. I hate those things. God cares for all creation. I'll pray about it. Thank you. So mom comes, she plants these sunflowers. They're awesome. I'm trying to learn and more about gardening and about trees. I learned something. Not because I did it, because I'm a nerd. I had to read it in a book. This is how I learned about it. When you're starting to grow a tree, and from its new life as it's growing through its adolescence into maturity, you water it. But if you keep on watering it every day, the roots will stay at the surface. And if you stop watering it, it will die. But if you stop watering it at the right time, those roots will start to dig down a little bit deeper. And as they go down, they find a water source beneath the surface, deep. And it taps into that. It gives them water constantly and consistently. So even when drought comes, when heat comes, a tree will stay alive. Jeremiah says it this way. Such trees are not bothered by heat. They're not worried by drought. Their leaves stay green if they never stop producing fruit. Maybe it's actually part of our spiritual journey that there's a time when God withdraws himself some from us. We don't talk about this much. But maybe in that withdrawing, we learn to press in. We don't quit. We press in and say, God, where are you? God, I want to experience you. God, I need you close to me. I'm leaning into you. And maybe in that season, we don't see it, but we're trusting our roots are going down deeper. And when we experience God in that season or coming out of that season, maybe our roots are a little bit deeper. So that no matter what comes for the rest of life, we trust and we know that God is good. Here's what it looks like. Real life example. I was talking with a lady, had an evening meeting here at the church. I just started the meeting. I said, hey, tell me about a time in your life where you were on fire for God. Like you knew like God was good. And she actually started by saying, well, it actually came at one of the worst moments in my life. I was in a terrible place. Things were not going well. At one point, I was gripping my steering wheel, crying, God, would you help me? God, would you do this specifically for me? And it doesn't happen for everybody, but in that moment, she prayed, and God answered her prayer so specifically. There's no way, oh, that was a coincidence. There's no way God did this for her. And for her, because of that experience, she says, now, whatever happens, I know God is good. I know he is for me. I know he will help me no matter what comes. The roots have gone down deep, tapped into another source of life that can keep us alive even when we're going through drought or heat. This is what it looks like. When life gets challenging, choose to decide, I won't run away. I won't disengage. God, with you, I am here to stay. For we know that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. So let steadfastness have its full effect so that you'll be perfect and complete, not lacking in nothing. I don't know about you, but I want a perfect and a complete, well-rounded faith. I need to realize that's probably going to happen through testing. So finally, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Trust in him, and if you do, your roots will begin to go down into God's love. And that will keep you strong. May God give us fresh stamina today. Today, God is here to stay with you. And we need to choose to stay with God, but I also want you to be moved to stay for others. Or a question I would ask you, in what area of your life do you think God would want you to choose to stay? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a situation you want to walk away from. Maybe it's a relationship. Where would God want you to stay? And specifically about relationships, we live in a time, coming out of 2020, we're probably the most isolated we'd ever been. But even before that, if there was any relationship that caused us discomfort, most of us have the ability to walk away. Most of us, it looks like this. I'm on Facebook and, wow, you shared some political thing I don't agree with. Block. you said something I don't agree with. Mute. Don't have to see that anymore. If I walk into the room and like I'm trying to talk with you, but you're like loud and overbearing and asking me 1,000 questions about my life, probably not going to engage in that anymore. If you have a family member that raises their kids in a way you don't agree with, it's like, well, see you at Christmas, maybe. We disengage from people. If they're not like us, if they don't agree with us exactly. But in doing so, we isolate ourselves and we don't learn how to live in community and show grace. What would it look like to choose to stay for people in relationships? Sometimes the greatest act of faith we have is faithfulness. Choosing to show up where we are planted today and continue to do what God has called us to do. Here's what we know. Neurologically, the way that our brains are wired, we're required for safety, belonging, and purpose, to find some purpose. But belonging and purpose don't happen if safety doesn't come first. If think about it just in a relationship. If you're always questioning, is this relationship going to continue? Like, are you actually here for me? Are you going to leave me? Are you going to forget about me? We'll never experience health. But if in a relationship, friendship, or any kind of relationship, if you know this person is for me, they're not going anywhere. This is going to, like, you care for me. You're never going to leave me. Then health can happen. So today I want to ask you, what relationship do you need to not give up on? Maybe it's a friend or a neighbor that you know they're not at a good place, or you look at them and you're like, you probably have no one that cares for you in life. Maybe it's a family member who's just difficult. Maybe it's an adult child you've been praying for and you're never sure if they're going to take the corner and turn and choose faith. Who do you need to not give up on? I hope that God brings someone to mind either today or this week for you. It's interesting. At one point, Jesus actually says this, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. So please stay here and keep watch with me. This phrase, crushed with grief, Bob does a whole thing in the background notes to interpret it. Someone who's experiencing sorrow all around. Do you know anybody in your life that is experiencing sorrow, it seems like, at every turn? If so, what would it look like for you to say, hey, I'm going to stay here with you. I will be here for you no matter what happens. So that when they come out of that season, they'll say this to you. You have stayed here with me in my time of trial. who's someone you could choose to stay with today? I think really what this means is our disposition to them says this. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone you want to text even today, or a family member says, listen, no matter what you've done in our past together, no matter what you will do in our future, no matter whatever bonehead decision you will make, because we both know you and you're going to make a decision, I want you to know I'm here for you. I'm not going anywhere. I love you. When someone says that to you, you say, you know what? You actually care for me. Shouldn't we as God's people be able to say that to others and let them know we will never give up on them? So let's not grow tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, maybe not our time, but at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So today, stay committed in your faith, but stay committed in relationship. Show them God's steadfast love and the way that God has moved to stay in your life. How could you move to stay in their life? And if you've been with someone and it is weighing your soul, how much longer can I choose to be with them? It's exhausting for me. Today, I would encourage you with this, and I'd encourage you to memorize it. Rejoice in our confident hope. We serve the God who's the only one that can bring dead things back to life, who can change our situations that we would otherwise, they would just continue to stay the course. God is a God of hope who can change things. So we rejoice because you know what? God just may do it. We can rejoice. We'll be patient in our trouble. God, I don't know why I'm experiencing this trouble, especially in this relationship with this person, but maybe in my own life, I don't know why I'm experiencing it, but I'm going to trust that in this season, my roots are going down deeper. I'm leaning into you, God. Help me be patient as you do your work in me. And finally, keep on praying. Praying is the lifeline that connects us with God. When we stop doing that, we stop communicating with him. Even if you hear nothing in response, be like the persistent widow in Luke who says, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need. Keep talking to God. It keeps your relationship alive. Today, know that God is here to stay for you. Choose that no matter what happens, you will stay in your faith. And finally, be moved to stay for someone else. To respond to the message today, normally we do different things. Sometimes it's, hey, stand and sing and declare this truth in your life. Sometimes it's, hey, grab something on your way out that will be a reminder. Sometimes it's text someone right now. Today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to spend a few moments in prayer. And simply, if you're new to prayer, you'd say this, God, what is it you're trying to say to me today? Maybe he's already been, your thought has crossed your mind. He's been whispering something to you. You know what you need to do in response to this. But I want to give you time and space to pray. I want to pray for us, but then on the screen, there's going to be a few different questions and things I want you to think through and then talk to God about. So right now, would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you. You loved us so much that while we were still far from you, going in our own direction, you've pursued us. You've sent your son, Jesus, to die for our sin, but to be raised to new life, to close the gap, to eliminate the separation so that we can come to know you. God, if we need to turn today to experience a refreshing of the soul, we turn our hearts, our attention, our focus to you and say, God, we need you. If there's any sin in our life, would you forgive us? But God, would you refresh my soul today? God, help us to be devout and committed. The song we sang, I've decided, no matter what, no turning back, I've decided to follow you. Give us a spirit, your spirit that comes in us and strengthens us. It emboldens us. It gives us fresh and new stamina to live for you. And God, finally today, would you bring people to mind that we could choose to move in close to them, to choose to stay for them. And as we do, may they see not just a person who says, I'm here for you, but may they see your love and grace embodied within us so that they may even come to know you because we are staying with them. Bless us in these things today. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. would also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content. And always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.